please, to the book of Luke, chapter 15. In your Schofield Bible, page 1096, we'll be reading the first 10 verses of the 15th chapter of Luke. We'll read these verses responsively. And may we stand, please, for the reading of God's wonderful word. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this service. We're thankful for the folks who've come, for those who visit with us. Now you have a work to do in each individual heart. It's an amazing, miraculous thing how one message laid upon the heart of the man of God can be something which each person can use, from which they can benefit. But we believe that. We believe that you use your word in the heart of any who listen. And of course, that's our responsibility, to hear the word and to do it. Bless this service. Bless, we pray, all of our dear church family. Very especially bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm doing something this summer that I have not done in, good night, probably 20, 25 years. I'm not prone to do it. I'm preaching a series of sermons. And all summer long I have been and will continue to preach on heaven. Tonight I want to speak on the subject, what makes heaven happy. I'm going to ask you to use your Bibles a little bit, so just get them ready. I'm going to ask you to read them right now. Get them ready, and a little while later I'll be asking you to look a scripture or two with me. And in fact, all the scriptures that I'll ask you to look at are in the book of Revelation. And so I want to talk to you tonight on what makes heaven happy. I read in the Bible. Don't turn. Don't be using. Look at me now. I'm preaching to you. I'll ask you to look in the Bible after a while. But I read in the Bible that heaven is a place of shouting and praising and laughter, rejoicing. And I wonder why people down here don't like to go to a church like that. It bothers me. Why you want to go to a dead church and you're going to go to a living place in heaven? And it bothers me. But there's got to be a reason. We just don't get to heaven and all of a sudden say, well, everybody else is shouting, so we'll shout too. There's a reason why heaven is happy. And I want to talk to you tonight on why. Our Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, these moments that we spend together. May heaven be a little nearer, a little dearer, a little closer. May our trip to heaven be a little less fearful, because we've come and because we've listened and heard tonight and because we've spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to call your attention tonight four simple things that makes heaven happy. Of course, we have to start with the obvious one. We read about it a while ago in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. When God reminds us, or Jesus reminds us, that there is heaven, joy in heaven more over one sinner that repents than 99 just persons who need no repentance. There is joy in the presence of the angels, the Bible says, when one sinner repents. Not much joy for some of you. You walk out during invitation. You don't want to see anybody saved. You haven't got enough Christianity to stay and watch people saved. Because the truth is, you don't give a flip whether they get saved or not. You folks that start traipsing out, so you can be the first ones to get to McDonald's or Teeble's. But in heaven, they rejoice over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. And so that means that up in heaven tonight, they're getting ready to shout, because places all over the world will have people saved in their services tonight. Imagine for a moment, if you would please, a mother. Imagine that mother having a child she carries for 9 months in her womb. Imagine the uncomfortable 9 months. Imagine the morning sickness. Imagine the gaining of weight and how uncomfortable. Imagine how hard it is for those 9 months. And then imagine the delivery and the suffering and the entering into the jaws of death itself to give forth life to the little one. And then imagine that same mother feeding that little child from her own breast, succoring that child and nurturing that child and caring for that child. And then imagine that mother, if you would, for those early days, tying the shoes and changing the diaper and bathing and dressing the child. And imagine all the hundreds and thousands of meals that she cooked and the hundreds and thousands of garments that she washed and ironed. And imagine all the hundreds of thousands of times she made the child's bed and all the things that go along with being a mother. And then she teaches the child and all the homework she helps the child with. But the child never gets saved. And the mother dies and all that can die of her, and she goes to heaven. And the child is on earth, not saved. Don't you think that mother has a vital interest that that child come where she is? Don't you think that every heartbeat of heaven, that mother had her heart beats for the child to come to heaven and share the glories of heaven with her? Don't you think as she looks at the golden street, she says, I hope my child will get saved and sometime be here with me. As she looks at the gates of pearl, she says, I hope my child someday will walk through those gates. As she sees the praises of Jesus and sees him face to face, she says, I hope my child someday will get saved. And she looks down on earth, and the Bible says that those in heaven witness what goes on earth. And I want to tell you, you folks that got beer in your icebox, if your mama's in heaven, she knows about it. If you tonight are living a life of indecency and immorality or sin, your mama knows about it. Your daddy knows about it, because the Bible says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of heavenly witnesses. And then that mother looks down one day and she sees her adult child going to church. And that mother knows that child is going to a Bible preaching church. That mother knows that child is going to hear a preacher who believes in the old time religion, the King James Bible, the truth of God, a hell that is hot, and a heaven that has golden streets, and a salvation that's real, and a new birth that's necessary. And that mother decides to look down at that one service that day. Now, I don't know what they do in heaven, whether they pray for unsaved or not, but I mean, she's concerned about that unsaved daughter of hers or son. And she looks down and she hears the sermon, and she cheers for the preacher and listens to what he says, and hopes that that child, that adult child, will be under conviction. And then the invitation time comes, and that mother, she leans over the battlements of heaven and looks down to the service. And the choir singing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Or just as I am without one plea, that Thy blood was shed for me." And the faithful man of God invites the people to come to Christ. And all of a sudden that mother looks down and sees her adult child. And that adult child is beginning to feel uneasy back there. And the mother says, "I believe he's under conviction. That's my boy down there on the fourth pew from the back, and that's my boy. And he's beginning to sweat, and I think I see a tear in his eye." And that mother looks down to see if that boy is going to walk down the aisle. And all of a sudden, that boy walks down the aisle, and that woman explodes up in heaven, brother. Don't you tell me she doesn't have a, "Hey, that's my boy. That's my boy. My boy just got saved. He was lost, and he's saved now. That's my boy." While you walk out during the invitation. Don't tell me you got Christianity. I'm simply saying that's... And by the way, that goes on in heaven all the time. Everybody that gets saved, somebody up there has been hoping they would get saved. Don't you tell me that when they've been there, they don't want you to come up there where they are. Can you imagine, if you would please, a wife... A woman that shared with the man that she married the intimacies of marriage, and then she became heirs of the grace of God, and because of their love there came forth children, and they shared the complexities of life and the heartaches of life, and they shared the burdens and sorrows, and they walked to the cemetery together, and they walked to the altar together to see their own become husband, find a mate, and weddings and funerals and hospital corridors. They walked together and shared all of the things that husband and wife share together. And that wife dies and goes to heaven, and the husband's not saved. Don't you think up in heaven she'll have a spell if he gets saved? Ah, she looks over the battlements of heaven and she says, "I'll declare they're having a big day down at First Baptist Church. They're giving away goldfish to everybody to bring a visitor. Or baby chicks on Easter Sunday." Her husband down on earth thinks they're giving away chicks instead of baby chicks. And sorry. But she says, "There's my husband. He's going to church. I never saw him in church before. And that man up there is preaching the gospel. Hey, that man up there is saying all are sinners. That man up there is saying that sinners are going to hell when they die. Hey, that's an old-fashioned hellfire brimstone preacher. He believes this place where I am, too. He believes in a literal heaven. He's preaching the way to heaven. He is saying Jesus alone is the way to heaven. He's saying it's not the Pope, it's not the priest, it's not the church, it's not the ordinance, it's not the baptism, it's not communion. It's faith in Jesus." "Oh, I hope my husband gets saved." She watches her husband. She didn't watch anybody else. She's up there in heaven. She's looking down watching her husband. Invitation time comes and he begins to get a little nervous. And she says, "I believe he's under conviction." And all of a sudden, he steps out and walks down the aisle. And she says, "That's my husband down there. That's my husband. He's coming up here too. I mean, that's my husband. He's not going to go to hell now. He's going to go to heaven. Hey, that's my husband." But now, wait a minute. That goes on all the time up there. All the time, people are getting saved. And everybody gets saved. Got somebody up there that wants them to come. That's one reason they're happy. It's an old story. You've heard it before, and I always tell it when I can't think of anything else to say. Mrs. Jim Ford is her name. She's about 50 years old, just a young girl. I was about 22 or 23 at the time, little country church in East Texas. Mrs. Jim Ford is married to... Boy, your feet are big. When they stick out there, they cover the whole carpet. He had his feet stuck out. I'd have to go get me a pole vault and pole vault over. And you got my mind off Miss Jim Ford. You're like the blind lady at the altar getting saved. And this guy was nailed there and his feet were big. And she patted those 2 feet and said, "God bless you two little fellows." And she wouldn't say little fellows, so she patted your feet. Let's go back to East Texas. This is Jim Ford. Mrs. Ford was had a Baptist head, but she had a Pentecostal heart. And she really had spells, just like you don't. And she got happy. Mrs. Ford, we'd have all-night prayer meetings at the church. And all night long on Saturday night, sometime we'd pray. Mrs. Ford would crawl while she prayed. She'd come to those all-night prayer meetings, and she'd crawl on her hands and knees while she prayed. I've heard her pray all night long, saying, "Please, Jesus, save Jim." That was her alcoholic husband. "Please, Jesus, save Jim. Please, Jesus, save Jim. Please, Jesus, save Jim. Oh, Jesus, please, save Jim." One Christmas night, Mrs. Ford was sitting over here, about right over there. Well, I take it back. We had a center aisle. She's sitting about right back here. Only had two sections about right back here. She didn't know Jim was there, but Jim walked in, sat back in the corner on the back row. And she did. Christmas night. Sunday was on the 25th that year, so was Christmas. And but anyway, Mrs. Ford didn't know Jim was there. And that night on Christmas, I preached on the subject, "The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we're not saved." I got about 5 minutes from the end of my sermon, and old Jim, back at Christmas night, he was an alcoholic. Old Jim stood up and he hollered at me, "Hey, preacher, I can't wait no longer!" He started running down the aisle and getting saved. Old Jim knelt over here and got saved. Mrs. Jim Ford back here, she came unscrewed. I mean, she walked down, and she weighed about 240 pounds, about the size of Mrs. I won't call her name, but it takes two seats for her to fill up in the choir. But Mrs. Ford weighed about 240, and I weighed about 140. She came down the aisle. She came to the person right in front of her. She is in the edge of the aisle. And she said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jim got saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." She picked up the person in front of her. I mean, picked her up like this and started shaking her up and down like that. "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." She came to the next person in front of that one and picked that person up like this and shook that person. "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." She came to the next one, the next one, the next one. She got here on the end of the aisle. She shook that one and said, "Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Then she came toward me. She got me, and I mean, it's the only woman outside this one here's ever hugged me. She got a hold of me, and she hugged me and shook me like a bottle of medicine. She said, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving Jim." I said, "I didn't do it." "Thank you, Jesus, for saving Jim." Now, boy, we had an old-fashioned time. Now, they have that all the time up in heaven. I mean, there's always some Mrs. Ford up in heaven whose Jim is getting saved down here on earth. I'm simply saying, that's why they're happy up there. I mean, they're in heaven. And all of a sudden, somebody down here whom they love, with whom they shared life, it was unsaved. Now they're going to come. "Hey, my baby's going to come. Hey, my wife's coming to heaven now. Hey, my son's coming to heaven. Hey, my daddy's coming to heaven now. Hey, my mama's coming to heaven now." I'm telling you what, that goes on all the time. Can you imagine a little aborted baby that Mr. Clinton killed? I was thinking a while ago, we have in the White House, holding the highest office of our land, a man who is guilty of a worse Holocaust than Germany ever was guilty of. Murdering human beings. And by the way, worse than the Holocaust. If you murder somebody 50 years old, you're taking a few years away from them. Listen to me. If you murder an unborn baby, you're taking a whole lifetime away from him. Can you imagine some little aborted baby goes to heaven? And sometimes I think it might be the best thing for them. Because somebody that will kill their own baby, they're not fit to rear that child, that's for dead sure. Little baby goes to heaven. The mother's never seen the child. The child's never talked to the mother. The child grows in heaven as babies do and looks down. There's the mother down there. Mother comes to church and hears the pastor preach against that kind of stuff like I'm doing tonight. Mother gets under conviction like you ought to tonight if you've been guilty of something like that. And the mother all of a sudden comes to church, and the little aborted baby up in heaven looks down and said, "That's my mama. She didn't love me, but I love her. She carried me in her womb. Look at there. Mama's going to church." A soul winner just came by mama's house. Hey, the soul winner's got the Bible and got the only book that ever came from up here. And the soul winner has got a King James Bible too. And the soul winner's reading Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 and Romans 5:8 and Romans 10:9-13. And hey, praise God, the God, and my mama, she's hearing it. My mama's on her knees. My mama's praying. Hey, my mama got saved. Mama's coming. Mama's coming up here. Mama's coming. Mama's coming. I get to be with my mama after all. She didn't want me, but she'll want me now. That's what makes heaven happy. And that scene goes on in every mansion almost every day. Can you imagine an adult in heaven? His aged father stood on earth. And the Father's marching towards eternity. 60, 67. I hope there's another one here. 70, 75, 80. And that Father's not saved. And that one who's already in heaven looks down realizing his father doesn't have long to get ready. And anxiously waits and says, "Oh, somebody, now my daddy's in a rest home. I wonder if he's able mentally to understand the gospel. I want my daddy up here where I am. I want him to see Jesus. I want him to see the golden streets. I want him to see the gates of pearl. I want him to see the river of life. I want him to see the tree of life." Look at there. There's some members of a church down in Hammond, Indiana, going to that rest home where daddy is. I hope they'll go to his room. I hope they'll go to his room. If they have services, I hope Daddy is coming to the services. And Daddy is sitting there. And that member of First Baptist Church of Hammond is at Romans 3:10 and 3:23 and 5:12 and 6:23 and 5:8 and 10:9-13. And my daddy, he's 88 years old. He doesn't have long to live. I want him up here. Daddy, 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 I beg you, Daddy, trust him. And the daddy bows his head and trusts the Savior. And there's a revival going on in the heavens. Hey, Daddy's coming. 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 Don't you tell me that's not the way they behave. There's a second reason why they rejoice in heaven. That's when a loved one arrives. See, when a saint passes away, there are two groups of people. There's a group around the bed down here saying goodbye, but just right up there, there's a group saying hello. When my mama passed away, all that could pass away of her. When my mama died, all that could die of her. Out here at Howells Anderson College Clinic. Were you there? Were you beside the bed? How many of you were beside the bed of my mama when she passed away? Yeah, several of you. And there you were. And you didn't want her to go. You wanted to keep her. And I wanted to keep her. And I wasn't there. I was preaching. Well, I'd made mother a promise that I would not ever cancel a preaching engagement that caused her death. But there's that little group. But there's another group up there. There's Aunt Jimmy and Uncle Harvey and Aunt Gary and Uncle Basil, Uncle Roy and Aunt Octon, there's her little afflicted child, no longer afflicted, named Loreen. And Loreen's been there for 80 years. Mama was 96. Almost 80 years, Loreen had been there when Mama went to heaven. You think she wasn't glad to see Mama coming home? Well, I bet she went from mansion to mansion saying, "Mama's coming tomorrow." Other day, a bunch of folks gathered up in heaven to welcome Mrs. Evans, but she wouldn't go. Miss Evans is coming. Hey, Miss Evans is coming. Miss Evans is... Oh. There's that house. They're praying again. Praise God. I mean, that little group down here saying goodbye, and that little group up there saying hello. Don't you tell me, folks, that somebody, my little sister, have been up here in heaven for 80 years. And when Mama got there, don't you tell me she didn't have a welcoming party. Man, she had a reception. She served glorified ice cream without calories. She served chocolate cake a la La Mode. A la La Mode. A la Mode. A la something. She served it. I feel sorry for some of you people. It's going to take you 3 millenniums to get adjusted to heaven. Somebody's coming. There's a third reason they're happy in heaven, and it's a different type of reason altogether. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. I think I feel a spell coming on. I want you to read. I want. In the north they say, I want you to read. And in the south they say, I want you to read. So I want you to read. I want you to read verse 19 out loud. Ready? And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and a great hail. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the ark of the covenant is in heaven. That's what it says right there. It says that the ark of the covenant is in heaven. Now, what's in the ark of the covenant? Bible says one thing, Aaron's rod that budded. Another thing, a golden pot of manna, a sample golden pot of manna that fell every morning like the dew of the dawn for the Israelites to eat and keep them well and strong for 40 years in the wilderness. A pot of that manna is there. And then that isn't all. The tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments were written are in the Ark of the Covenant. Praise God, I'm going to see the Ark of the Covenant that was in the holy place, Holy of Holies. That isn't all. I am going to sample the heavenly manna. The Bible calls it angel's food. All in the world God did, the Israelites were 40 years in the wilderness, and God said, I haven't got anything to eat. He said, angels, you want to share your food with those people down there? Angels said, sure. And they took up, they had a pounding, a food shower. Angels all brought part of their supply and gave them to God, and God rained it down. And praise God, in heaven right now, there's a pot of that manna in heaven. Can you imagine? I wonder what it tastes like. In fact, I wonder what all food tastes like. And I want to find out what all food tastes like. But brother, I'll tell you what I want to see. I want to see those two tablets of stone on which are written the Ten Commandments. They are in heaven tonight. I want to see them. Because the Bible says they are written in God's handwriting. I've always wanted God to write me a letter. But God's handwriting. And the Bible said that in heaven there is the Ark of the Covenant. And of course in that Ark of the Covenant, Aaron's rod that budded, the golden pot of manna, the Ten Commandments. That isn't all it says. Take your Bibles and open your Bibles to Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 5. Read it out loud, please. Ready? And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now look at chapter 1 and verse 12. Revelation 1, verse 12. Read that, please. And I turned to see the voice. I love that. I turned to see the voice. Did you ever see a voice?
Hey, come, let me show you a voice here. I want you to see this. I want to see Dr. Jorgensen's voice. You can't even see him, much less his voice. Well, you know why? Because that voice was Jesus. John 1:1 said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the voice of God was Jesus." They turned to see the voice of God, and look at it. Read that last line, starting the word "and." Ready? "And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Up in heaven, they're seeing the Ark of the Covenant. They're seeing the Ten Commandments. They're seeing Aaron's rod that budded. They're seeing a golden pot of manna. And they're also seeing the candlesticks that were in the tabernacle and in the temple. That is an all. Look at Revelation, please, again. Revelation chapter number 8 and verse number 3. Chapter 8 and verse number 3. Read it out loud, please. "And another angel, and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." They're enjoying heaven and rejoicing in heaven because they can see the Ark of the Covenant. They can see the Ten Commandments. They can see the golden pot of manna. They can see Aaron's rod that budded. They can see the candlestick of the temple and tabernacle. And praise God, they can see the altar of incense from which was going up sweet-smelling savor. Let's go to the next point. No, let's don't. Let's go back over here to this point. Let's look on top of the Ark of the Covenant. There's some blood there. And a DNA test has done been taken. And I'm going to call and get the results. They say it's Jesus' blood. I mean, it's there. Every time they walk by that Ark of the Covenant, the golden candlestick and the altar of incense, they see that blood and say, "Well, glory, that's why we're here." That blood. It's still the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No wonder they're having a spell up there all the time. I know what some of you folks are going to do when you get there. You're going to want to move your membership to a more dignified heaven. I want to go to the Episcopalian heaven. That's spelled with four letters. You take your choice, Buster. You're going to hear a lot of noise for eternity wherever you go. Why do they rejoice in heaven? They rejoice in heaven because they see people saved on earth. Why do they rejoice in heaven? Because they are welcoming people to heaven. Why do they rejoice in heaven? Because of these pieces of tabernacle and temple furniture that are there, on which is sprinkled the same blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. There's a fourth thing. They rejoice in heaven because they take the Lord's Supper there. When I was a little boy, I used to want to eat some of those crackers and drink some of that juice. And past that, Mama said, "You can't have any. That's child abuse." And I'd want some of them crackers. I couldn't ever figure why they just took one piece. I thought, if I ever had a shot at them, I'll take a handful of those things. Some of these deacons down here do. They get four or five pieces. And I thought about those little cups of juice. And I thought, well, it's depression time here, and nobody can afford much. And I wanted to take it. But Mama said, "You got to get saved first." And I'll never forget, when I got saved, the next time we had the Lord's Supper, I got to take it. And from that day to this, I've loved the Lord's Supper. But my Bible says that one day, we will partake the Lord's Supper with Jesus. Can you imagine those folks up there when Lord's Supper Day comes? And Jesus serves it. The Bible says He still has his wounds in his hands. Not scars. Scars are wounds that are healed over. No, no, they're wounds in his hands. And as he takes the tray, hands you the bread, you'll see those wounds in his hands. And you'll have a spell. And as he stands before you to give you this, the elements, you'll see those wounds on his brow. And no doubt there'll be opportunity to see obvious results of the wounds on his back where he was beaten. And I'll take that little piece of bread. And I'll take the Lord's Supper. And I'll look at him who died for me. Then I'll close with this. I think there are also a bunch of surprises in heaven. If God's going to bring the altar of incense there, if God's going to bring the golden candlestick there, and if God's going to bring the Ark of the Covenant there, if God's going to bring the Ten Commandments there, and if God can bring a pot of manna there, if God can bring Aaron's rod that budded there, I'll bet you. It's not right to bet, is it? I'll wager that God's got a lot of other stuff there that's going to surprise us. And you know what I think he's going to have? I can't prove this with the Bible, but it's Heilsology all the way, but it's true. I believe that the cross of Calvary will be in heaven when I get there. I think it'll be a surprise. It won't be to me because I'm expecting it. And I've ruined it for you. I just wonder what's... Can you imagine what kind of memorabilia room is going to be up there? I've dreamed of a place that's called heaven. Sweet home of the happy and free. Sweet haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. A happy place. Happy because of people preparing to go there. Happy because of arrivals coming in all the time. Happy because of all the things that are there to remind us of our salvation. And happiest of all, because we shall see Jesus face to face. Our Heavenly Father, I hope that in these sermons on heaven, reality shall grip us. I hope we'll learn and be comforted by the fact of the reality of heaven, its joys, its wonders, its beauty. Now, I don't want any of us to want to hurry to get there, because there'll be no people there with broken hearts to mend. Be nobody there to witness to and get saved. Be nobody there as a backslider we can help. Nobody falling into sin we can lift up. And I got a lot of tears I want to catch on these shoulders first. But when it comes, I want us to realize it's not bad at all. It's peace and joy and rest and beauty and happiness. I pray you'd help us not only to prepare to get there, but prepare to enjoy it when we arrive. Our heads are bowed. Do you know you're...